So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. Wisconsin's gun deer hunt season begins November 23rd, and every year I look forward to interviewing Kevin Wallenfeig, big game ecologist with the Wisconsin DNR, to preview that hunt. Excuse me, Kevin. Welcome back.
Thanks. My favorite interview of the year.
Oh, thanks. Oh, yeah, big ham. talk to me about any major changes. Do our hunters need to know about any big changes last year's season, this year's season?
This year, there really are no new big changes. The things that have changed are things that they're used to. Mm-hmm. So we have a special season every year in select counties called the Holiday Hunt, that Christmas New Year's hunt.
Yeah.
And the number of counties involved in that, you know, southern farmland, central farmland, those have changed. And we have an extended archery season now, and the counties that are included in that have changed. But other than that, it's great. There are really no new big changes this year. So.
Okay, I'm a trap shooter but not a deer hunter, so don't hold it against me. The old rule was get a buck, that's gone, right?
Earn a buck.
Earn a buck.
Oh, that's long gone.
Long gone.
We have
Thank
not
you.
Had earn a buck, I think, since 2010 or 2011. So, yeah, you are no longer required. While there is a movement out there to try to bring it back, which is probably not going to happen. But earn a buck is gone.
Long gone.
Long gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the health of our deer herd. How does that measure? What are all the signs pointing to for this season?
Well, health is I don't like to talk about the health,
okay,
because we've got issues out there with chronic wasting disease. So you're talking about the health of individual deer.
Yeah.
The status of our deer population.
The numbers.
The robustness of our deer population is excellent. In fact, in some areas, it's too excellent. We have a lot of deer out on the landscape. We are in the neighborhood of all-time record high numbers of deer in Wisconsin. Following last year's deer seasons, our post-hunt population estimate was over 1.8 million deer. So, you know, we're looking at coming into this fall with over 2 million deer.
What are the areas of Wisconsin that, to use your words, may have too many deer?
Well, you know, our farmland areas are extremely productive deer factories. The resources are there, the temperature, the climate, the snow depths, all those things are lower than we see in northern Wisconsin. The carrying capacity is much higher, so they can support more deer. The real big areas, when I think of areas with an awful lot of deer in Wisconsin, the Fox Valley area, Waupaca County, Shawano County, but you get down here into Dane County, Iowa County, Sauk County, Richland County, you know, draw a map of the farmland zone of Wisconsin, and there's a lot of deer.
Dane County leads the state in the number of vehicle deer accidents.
And that's not necessarily numbers of deer. Now, certainly numbers of deer play a part in that, but you also have to take into consideration the volume of traffic, the volume of roads, and everything
Very true.
Else. So,
how many deer have you hit?
In my life, I think I've hit two.
Okay, that's about my number two.
But I look for them, so I'm alert for them. I know people that have hit many.
Only two, yes, many. Okay, what are the indications in terms of license sales this year? Roughly, what's your estimate? How many hunters will be hitting will join you in the woods on November 23rd?
Well, I have not, you know, that's going to change drastically this week.
Yes.
During this week, we see an awful
the
lot
last
of people
few days
buy their license,
the
and especially Friday. I think they sell about 100,000 licenses on Friday alone.
Okay.
So if we look back at last year's numbers, we anticipate that we're going to sell somewhere in the neighborhood of 800,000 total licenses. Now, that's archery, crossbow, you know, all licenses throughout the year.
Yeah.
And on Saturday, we would anticipate somewhere in the neighborhood of 600,000 hunters.
And where does the license fee go? Does it go to maintain all types of programs?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah. The gun deer season supports many, many programs within the department, not
okay.
just deer hunting, deer management.
Okay. And you're going to be one of those in the woods November 23rd?
I always am, you bet.
Now, you mentioned CWD. I was listening to a DNR podcast, and one of the staffers recommended that all deer harvested be tested. Is that a hard and fast rule? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, getting your deer tested is really, it's a personal choice. You know, the health associations out there, organizations recommend that you don't eat a deer that has chronic wasting disease.
Right.
We make testing available to anybody that wants it. So last year, I think we tested about 17,000 deer in Wisconsin, but that's out of 330,000+ total harvest. So the actual number that's getting tested is small, but in some areas of the state, getting that deer tested is not as critical as it might be in another area. So Dane County, Iowa County, Sauk County, areas where the prevalence is high and it continues to grow, you know, we've got areas where if you shoot a buck, it's got a 50-50 chance of having the disease.
50-50?
Right.
In southwest Wisconsin, generally?
I can't say generally.
Okay.
It's not generally, but in certain areas, it's very, 50-50. Very high. 50%, you know, 30 to 50% of the adult bucks out there are carrying it, and then the prevalence rates change and go down based on the sex of that deer and the age of that deer. So, you know, a fawn is much less likely to show to be a positive detection than an older buck.
You've been doing this a while. What's your gut tell you? Are Wisconsin hunters testing more and more of the deer they harvest for CWD?
Well, the numbers are annually going up, and we're getting great participation from the hunters. We have a goal this year of testing about 21,000. But
up
where,
from 17.
Well, but where that testing occurs, you know, there's pockets of the state where we have goals. We want to get so many from one area because maybe a new detection. We are testing broadly across northern Wisconsin, so we have a rotating testing program. Last year we tested in the west central region of Wisconsin. This year it's the north. So we will continue that rotation to look for new sparks.
This is intriguing, the testing program, because last year you went to kiosks in which hunters can deposit the heads of deer they harvest.
Right.
And some hunters have kind of adopted kiosks, which I find very fascinating.
Right.
And they can either count the number of heads and report it to DNR, or they can actually transport those heads to a regional facility, and it goes where? Where are those deer heads tested?
All of those heads come down here to the Black Earth Laboratory, where the samples are prepared, and then they go out to other laboratories for the actual testing. I think most of them are now, I think they stay right here in Wisconsin through our UW system. So, or it's not the UW system, it's a diagnostics lab. So, the kiosks are a new program in the last couple of years. I think we had about 100 of them out there last year, so we have an Adopt the Kiosk program. Mm-hmm. Like you said, they can be monitored, and we're trying to make it more convenient for people to get their deer tested. So it's like the drive up at the bank. You drive up, you fill out some paperwork, you make your deposit of that animal's head. And then we've got another adoption program. It's called Adopt the Dumpster, and this is a whole nother effort to try to provide better disposal options for people. So, you know, if you have a deer that tests positive for CWD, we want to keep that carcass off the landscape because that's one potential way for the disease to spread.
Right.
So this is, you know, there's arguments of this is all a big waste and deer have nose-to-nose contact and everything else. Yes, they do. We can't control the natural biology and behavior of deer out there.
Mm-hmm.
The disease will continue to spread, but this is an effort that we can control and do whatever we can to try to slow that spread. And keeping those carcasses off the landscape and getting your deer tested are two ways to do that.
A hunter that gets a trophy buck, 15 points or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and she or he wants to eventually get that head back to mount it on their wall.
Right.
How can they have it tested and then get it back for eventually to be mounted?
Well, the only thing that we need from the animal are the lymph nodes out of the neck. So when you take it to a taxidermist or to a meat processor, they take the skin off the animal. It's skinned out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that they give back to the person for mounting. And they cut the skull plate and the antlers off. So, you know, we don't need any of those parts. They can take those off first. They can also bring that animal, if they just wanted the skull of the animal, a European-style mount, they can bring that whole thing in. We will take what we need, and we will get that back to
them. Final question on CWD. From the time that a hunter drops off a head to be tested, how long does it take to get she or he results?
During the gun season, we have actually returned those results to people within, you know, 5-6 days. But it depends on where in the state the animal is tested, how long it takes to get that sample to the lab, and all those kind of things. Usually it's less than 2 weeks.
Okay. Now let's go back to generalities. How many deer were harvested last year?
336,000 plus.
Is that up?
Yes. Now? The last few years, you recall back in 2013-14, we had a pretty lousy winter, and we lost some deer. It was the most severe winter since we've been keeping track for deer management purposes that we've ever had. And, you know, we had broadly across the north, there were no antlerless tags. So we managed deer by a variable quota system that focuses on the antlerless portion of the population. So there were no doe tags in the north for a year. And then a few, the population started going up and you'd see more doe tags up there as people, the CDACs, County Deer Advisory Councils, saw the need. But since then, 3 years of very mild winters, we had a bit of a moderately severe winter in some areas of the north last year. But those mild winters allow populations to increase quickly. And as a result, this year, for the first time in about 10 years, we have no buck-only units. So there was at least a handful of doe tags in every county of the state this year.
That's a big change,
isn't
it?
Yeah,
it really is. We have seen early snow. It's not even winter.
Yeah,
and
it's
you've
awful.
Got, yeah. I'm glad you said that, not me. But having some snow depths, does that help or hurt hunters?
It absolutely helps. Yeah, it absolutely helps. Well, the biggest thing is visibility. Being able to see in the woods, you can see deer much easier when they're against a white background than a brown background. Some people say, oh, it's, tracking snow. Well, I don't think most people actually get out and track deer like they used to. Most don't anyways. But to me, for the most part, it's all about visibility, and it's good for safety as well, seeing other people moving in the woods and that kind of thing too. So
that's intriguing what you just said. Why are fewer people tracking?
There's such a major change in the techniques and the culture of deer hunting in Wisconsin over the last, 30 years, 40 years. It's mind-boggling what has changed out there and how people hunt. When our grandpas were out there deer hunting, a huge part of what they did was drive deer and track deer. And a part of that is probably because of the equipment they were using. You look at some of the old photographs and they were wearing rubber boots. They had to have been freezing. So they pushed deer and things like that because it was also a way for them to move around during the day and stay warm. Today, you have a complete shift. So many people sit in a heated, elevated box blind. They don't move. They sit out there in a t-shirt. And it is what it is. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but it certainly has changed the way people hunt, and it has changed the number of deer that people see. We have record numbers of deer out there, but I guarantee you after the season, I will hear from people that didn't see deer. The volume of people out there hunting, I can give you story after story of, a couple hundred acres of property that used to be hunted by 10 or 15 or 20 people and got bought by somebody, and now they and their son hunt it or something like that. So there's not as many people out there pushing deer around. Where they can, people sit over bait, and we, kind of tongue-in-cheek call baiting bed and breakfast, because a deer don't have to move. A deer can get as much protein, as much nutrition in 5 minutes at a bait station as would take them hours of walking around the woods to find acorns and whatever else to eat. It's an instant. They bed down for the day. They don't have to move. They wait till it's dark. They get up. They go exactly where they know the food is, and they're getting everything they need right there very quickly.
But aren't there limits on baiting in some of the CWD heavy
absolutely.
Intensive areas?
Yes, absolutely. Where there is a CWD detection, baiting is not allowed. But that also doesn't mean that everybody is following those rules. There is baiting going on out there where it's not supposed to be going on. And there are still counties where it is allowed. But from my experience of talking with hunters, they're not seeing as many deer. And they know that it's because they're baiting. But the neighbors are baiting, so they feel like to compete, to keep up with the neighbors, to see deer, they're going to have to use the same technique. So it's a weird kind of a thing.
What about you? Are you tracking, or are you in a deer stand in a t-shirt?
I do a little bit of, I do not sit in a heated blind. I don't own such a thing. I don't own property. I hunt on public lands in northern Wisconsin, and we sit in portable tree stands. My plan this year is to sit for the first couple of hours, and then my plan, because there's so much land up there that is not hunted, and it's wilderness country, and it's great to just be in, I do go out and look for a track and try to walk up a deer.
Which county are you going to be in?
Vilas County.
Vilas County.
Yep.
Now, you said something intriguing. I want to talk about the changes in Wisconsin's deer hunt. Let's go 10, 20 years. Mm-hmm. I'll go first, okay? 10 years ago, if I'm a hunter, I had to have my license on my back and posted and visible.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. And your turn. What's another big way that it's changed?
Well, I mean, how you buy your license has changed.
I get it online now.
So much is electronic. Registration is now electronic. And we are seeing very high compliance rates for that. It's about 94% of hunters that legally shoot a deer are also registering it as they're required to.
How long has DNR allowed online registering deer that's been harvested?
I think this is our fifth year, including
and every year you see the numbers growing?
Every year the numbers of deer that are being registered has increased, and that goes right along with what we would expect as far as the population increasing with it. So, but getting back to other changes, you know, you can talk about the type of equipment that's being used. Crossbows are becoming more and more popular, and fewer people using traditional archery equipment is reduced. Mm-hmm. You know, we're still killing a lot of deer in Wisconsin, but when those deer are being killed is changing, and it's changed over time significantly.
That's fascinating. Talk about that.
Well, more and more people these days are into the crossbow and regular bow seasons, so we've got 200-some thousand people out there doing that, and in the 1970s, it was minuscule. But equipment changes and things like that, and that's, you know, the search for a new challenge and all those things that, you know, get people interested in bow hunting in the first place has caused I can show you very clearly on a graph how they come together, where it used to be, you know, 90% of our kill came from the gun deer season, mm-hmm. and now it's significantly reduced, and eventually these two lines may cross, and we may actually be shooting more deer with archery and crossbow equipment than we will be with firearm
equipment.
And we've seen that in other states.
What's the attraction in crossbow as opposed to gun?
It's interesting you ask that, because we just did a lot of survey work on this. The motivation of a crossbow hunter versus a regular archery hunter, and let's get one thing straight, they're the same people. A lot of them are the same people, and they're hunting with both weapons.
Woo.
Yeah, so
that's
it depends.
Quite an investment on their part.
Well, it can be, but they're, you know, depending on the day, depending on how they're feeling, depending on what they're seeing in the woods, depending on how cold it is, might dictate which one of those weapons they take into the woods and what deer they might decide to hunt with it. Mm-hmm. the only... Like I said, they're the very same people. The difference that we see in them, one is age. People that are hunting with traditional archery equipment, a vertical bow,
yep,
tend to be younger and tend to have different goals in mind. They are more likely to be interested in trophy deer, big deer. They're interested in the highest challenge that they can find. Whereas folks that hunt with a crossbow tend to be older, more, you know, 50s plus. That's not everybody, but I'm saying in general, they tend to be older. They tend to be out for the experience of warmer hunting conditions, the gratification of getting a deer with something other than a gun.
Yeah.
So their motivations are a bit different.
But, well, crossbows can cost quite a bit, can't they?
So can bows. So can regular bows. I mean, it's not hard to invest $1,000 in some of this equipment.
Well, what are the numbers? The economic impact on deer hunting in Wisconsin with traditional bows, crossbows, deer. Guns, excuse me.
Yeah. I mean, the license sale part of it and everything is a very small part of the whole overall equation. The impact on Wisconsin's economy is somewhere in the neighborhood. The numbers I've seen is somewhere around $2
billion
a year. So that's gasoline, hotels, clothing, you know, bullets, you name it, anything that goes into going out there deer hunting. Yeah.
Does the deer camp culture still exist, Kevin?
I think absolutely it does. I know that. I mean, I know from folks that I know that the camp culture is getting a bit smaller, but a lot of that is those are just general social changes. I know people that they don't. There's more for our kids to do these days. Yes. When I grew up, there wasn't hockey league and soccer league and everything else. I know people that are missing the opening of the gun deer season this year because their kid has 3 basketball games on Saturday.
Yep.
You know, now we had basketball, and it always killed me to have a practice on Sunday afternoon. But there's more things to distract people from it. I think there's fewer people out there that say deer hunting is my one and only major thing in the world. You know, they've got other activities that are just as important to them. So where the camps do exist, you know, our hunters are getting older. So we are seeing a reduced number of hunters out there. With all those things for kids to do, it's difficult to haul them off. You know, it used to be that schools in Wisconsin closed for 9 days during the gun deer season. We don't see that anymore.
Right.
So the demands on our kids are different. The demands on everybody are different.
Well, I'm intrigued by your 94% of deer harvested now are registered online. What is this?
No, that's not what I said.
Fix it then.
All of the deer are registered either online or by telephone.
Okay.
They're registered electronically.
The
compliance rate is about 94%, which is probably
online or by phone.
Both.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. So what that means is out of every 100 deer that get shot, we're hearing about 94% of them. There's 6% or so out there that don't get registered that we don't know about, but we don't make adjustments for that, and we never have. 94% is probably as high, if not higher, than it ever was when we had in-person.
But here's where I'm going. 10, 15 years ago, you had to take your harvested deer to a bar, a convenience store, and there was this social interaction.
Yes.
Whoa, that's a beauty, or that's pretty small. So there must be hunters that miss this camaraderie.
There are, and we do hear about that.
You do hear about that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, it was fun. I used to do it myself. You'd go after dark on opening day, and there might be 50 cars lined up with a deer on the back, and you could walk down and look at the antlers. But, you know, that culture isn't completely dead. There are still deer contests at the tavern. Those kind of things are happening. And it's actually, I think it's broadened the business a little bit, because it used to be there was a bar in town, because we didn't have we didn't let everybody be a registration. If there was a registration station in a small town, that was the spot. Well, there was 3 other gas stations and 4 other taverns that got none of that business.
Right.
And now I think that that's spread out. So that registration station, I would not deny that those folks are probably seeing reduced business. I can't say that the rest are seeing an increased business, but it has demonopolized, I think, what a registration station may have done for a business.
How many
town.
Registration stations will we be down to this season, do you think?
Well, we still have roughly 200 stations that provide that, you know, that opportunity. If somebody doesn't get cell coverage because they're way out in the boondocks, or, you know, they don't have a computer at home or whatever. So there are, you know, and we, you know, we have a big Amish community in Wisconsin that don't use the telephone and don't own computers. They need a place to go as well. So we try to provide that.
One other change I want to ask you about over the last 10, 20 years, whatever window you want to, are we much safer deer hunting season now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have not had a hunting fatality, I think, in Wisconsin in maybe the last 3 years. We had, I believe, only 6 incidents last year. You can look back into the 1930s and 40s. Mm-hmm. The numbers were astronomical. We'd have 100 people shot a year in Wisconsin. So I think some of the biggest differences are obviously we've got great hunter education programs. Our, you know, people that are going hunting are more prepared for safety, I think, than they've ever been. Obviously, the 1980s, we changed the clothing requirements to blaze orange.
Yes.
So you're more visible than you've ever been out there before. More people hunting from an elevated platform. Mm-hmm. There was a time in Wisconsin in the 1970s that you were not allowed to hunt on an elevated platform. You could not hunt in a tree.
It was illegal?
Yes.
Why?
So you had to shoot this direction.
Why would it have been illegal?
I don't even know the history of why.
Ahead.
But it's probably the vast majority of hunters are now hunting elevated. So when they shoot, they're shooting down.
Yep.
They have telescopic sights. You know, all those things make a shot more accurate. So there's been so many changes in the culture and the equipment and the, you know, our own programs to just make people that much more prepared and safe out in the woods.
Talk to me about one other change. Have you seen a growth in the number of deer carcasses that are being donated as venison to some of the charities?
Actually, I think in the big picture that the annual amount is down from what it used to be, but it's still pretty significant. So the deer donation program is 20 years old this year, and I think there's been something on the upper end of 90,000 deer donated over those years, and I think it's something like 3.7 or 3.8 million pounds of venison that has been distributed to food pantries and that kind of thing. So it's another great cultural change of how hunters impact the communities of Wisconsin.
If I harvest a deer and donate it to a charity, do I have no legal liability?
You don't donate it to a charity. There are meat processors there that participate. So those deer go to the meat processor. They take care of all the processing. If an animal tests positive for chronic wasting disease, they discard that.
Yes.
So it's very, very controlled, very regulated. You can't just take a deer in and dump it off at your local old folks' home and say, my donation, have a nice day. It's very controlled, it's inspected, all those kind of things.
Yeah, thanks for talking about that. You talked about when we implemented and mandated Blaze Orange. Mm-hmm. Then there was this bill a few years ago on
you
pink.
You bring that up every year.
I know. Have you seen any hunters in pink?
Well, there's people out there, sure. Okay. But it's not, from what I have seen, there's been no mad rush to run to the store for most people to buy new clothes. I mean, that's another big investment. A good hunting jacket is going to cost you a couple hundred bucks. Nobody's going to discard that $200 blaze orange coat to go buy a new pink one. So I've never seen anybody hunting in pink. I know that they're out there, but it was much ado about nothing.
Next year I won't ask that question.
Can we just let that one go?
We'll let that one go. Okay, but what are your concerns going forward with Wisconsin Deer Hunt? What are some of the issues that are out there for the next 2-3 years, Kevin?
Well, I would say the biggest issues, it's a combination of things. One is we're going to have fewer hunters out there.
Yeah.
And that affects a lot of programs, and obviously it affects deer management. It's a big concern for lots of folks, including us. Certainly revenue plays a part of it. As we started out talking about, the deer hunting season supports a lot of programs from parks to endangered species to whatever. It covers an awful lot of things that affects everybody in the state, whether you're a hunter or not. Mm-hmm. So it is a big, that is a big component of it. So obviously the number of hunters out there is going to go down. Our deer populations have been increasing. So we already have situations where either the hunter doesn't see the deer to harvest or they don't even want to harvest that deer. Our hunters, most hunters don't want to shoot 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 deer a year. They're happy if they get a deer and they stop hunting.
What's the limit?
It depends on where you are.
Okay.
Basically, it's unlimited. If you're willing to continue to buy antlerless permits where they're available, you can shoot as many deer really as you want and travel around the state.
And when you look out over the next few years, CWD continuing to grow?
Yes. CWD is not going to disappear from Wisconsin.
Okay.
Certainly anytime soon. And that's kind of what this is all about, is we continue to monitor it. We continue to try to slow the spread. There's so much we don't know about CWD.
Yeah.
There's so much research that is being done.
There's a multi-state effort to do research on CWD. I think the DNR secretary said that's part of it.
Well, and there's been collaboration going on about CWD for a long, long time. There was recently a kind of a summit here in Wisconsin,
yes,
and brought
that's
folks
what I was
in.
Referring to, right.
But it's not that's the very first time anybody's talked about this. There's been a lot of collaboration, and we talk among ourselves, among the professionals, and among the disease community and whatnot regularly. So, CWD obviously is a growing concern.
Right.
There's other diseases out there that luckily we have not seen in Wisconsin's herd, but tuberculosis is one. If we have actually been testing for tuberculosis in an area around a farm here in Dane County.
In Dane.
Where it was found in their cattle herd. So then we start a surveillance program. So there's diseases like that. But the reduction in hunters, The increased number of deer out there, CWD, I don't see how you could possibly find three bigger issues than those.
Okay, but looking forward to this hunt, you're looking forward to a pretty successful hunt.
Yeah, I mean, things are, you know.
You are pretty pumped.
Hopefully, I'm always pumped about deer hunting. But, you know, hopefully the weather will hold. Hopefully some of this snow is going to stick around. Hopefully we'll get a little bit more before then. There's other things, other influencers out there that can determine, you know, we can have a lousy opening weekend weather-wise, and that has an impact on what's going on. The corn harvest right now is not even half of what it was last year.
It's still in the fields.
There's only like 22-23%, the last report I saw.
Right.
That's 2 million acres of habitat, of places for deer to hide out there on the landscape. We would love to see 90% of the corn gone, because that's going to push deer into the marshes and into the woodlands where the hunters can access them. We've had an extremely wet year, so we've got extremely wet areas that will be tough for hunters to access. Hopefully some of this cold weather is going to stick around and harden some of that up and harden up some of that ground so the farmers can get out there and pull their corn off.
Yeah, but you know, 5 a.m.
There's a lot of things going on.
5 a.m. on November 23rd, you're going to be in Vilas County.
I will be up there even on Friday night getting ready and being happy, so you bet.
Okay. Kevin Wallenfang, Big Game Ecologist with DNR. Thanks for previewing the hunt.
My pleasure.
Always look forward to this.
Me too.
I won't ask about pink next time.
That's okay.
Thanks, Kevin.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol. Wisconsin Eye would not exist without generous donors like you. Please visit wisseye.org to make a donation today.